So today we are going to be looking at NTI Revelation chapter 12, which on my Kindle I have on page 475. I can see that. Yeah, your bookmark's in the wrong place. Yeah. Not very helpful.
I put it at the back when we're reading, and I never put it back where it goes.
Well, look around 475. Is it 475?
Chapter what?
Chapter 12.
476.
476 for you. Okay, in the paperback. All right, so the first thing that NTI asked me to do is to read from the Bible, Revelation 12, 1 through 6. So I will read that in my Bible, which is the NIV version, the NIV version. This section is called The Woman and the Dragon. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. So we'll see what NTI has to say about that. Everything that you are reading is about you. Everything that you experience is a reflection of your mind. In realizing this, there is no fear, there is only wonder. And there is the opportunity to realize that everything is dependent on your choice, because you are the one who chooses. The woman and her child are one. To separate them is to separate you. But the dragon is not separate from you either. This is why you have a choice. Everything that is experienced through your mind. And you may choose what, within the mind, shall be the ruler of all experience. So we have this woman who is pregnant and gives birth to a son who is whisked up to heaven and put on a throne. You know, we aren't told by NTI exactly what they represent, but we know they represent the holy or the right-minded side. I like to imagine the woman as spiritual practice and the son as awakening. And, you know, so that's the right mind. The dragon then would be the ego. And the dragon wants to devour the son, which makes perfect sense. The ego does not want awakening to happen. The ego wants to take over and keep doing its chattering all the time and have us listen to and believe it. And what's really interesting about NTI here is it says that the woman and her child are within us, which is nice, the right mind. But then it says that the dragon is within us also. And it says this is why you have a choice. And that's really the theme of NTI Revelation chapter 12, is that we are the chooser. And we can't just go about blindly believing our mind if we want to awaken. Because when we blindly believe our mind, we're giving all of our attention to the ego or the dragon. And that dragon is going to devour that baby. There will be no awakening. So we need to be conscious and we need to choose not to listen to, not to believe our ego mind. Which, of course, means one thing we need to learn is the difference between our ego mind and our right mind, the mind that is pointing towards truth. Verses 7 to 9. The world seems real and concrete to you, but even this is within your mind. The world was made real by the mind so that it could choose to experience that which it chose to experience while also denying its ability to be the one that chooses. So that's very interesting. It's telling us that the mind makes the world, but the mind, which of course has divine power behind it, makes the world real, because if it didn't seem real, it would be easier to disregard it. It would be easier to pay no attention to it. So in order for us to be really caught up in this experience and really caught up in the mind made the world seem very, very real. We were talking about your mother's hallucinations, and of course, her hallucinations to you are not real at all, so it's very easy for you to disregard them, see? And if this world wasn't real to us, it would be very easy to disregard it. However, her hallucinations are very real to her, and she's not disregarding them, is she?
No.
So you see, that sense of reality is needed in order for us to be hooked, right? So, again, the world seems real and concrete to you, but even this is within your mind. The world was made real by the mind so that it could choose to experience that which it chose to experience while also denying its ability to be the one that chooses. This is an ability that you must reclaim and take back, because this is an ability that has never been lost. To deny that choice is yours is to be lost by your own choice. To accept choice as freedom is to reclaim the way to be found. So when we blindly just listen to our mind's interpretations of whatever's happening in the news and our family life and our work life, and you know, and we just believe it, of course what we're also doing is participating in the making of more just like that in some way, right? I mean, it's just the spinning that continues to happen. The world continues to appear the way the world has always appeared because we continue to believe the thoughts. And so at some point, if we really want to know truth, at some point we have to choose not to believe the mind's interpretations of the world, even if the mind seems right. And this is where it gets difficult. And I know I've shared the example before of like when I lived with Laurent, and my mind was telling me, hate him, you know, I hate him. And one of the reasons I hate him, he's a slob, and there's proof everywhere, right? The house is a complete disaster, and it's all his work. And so if I look at the world, which is concrete, and I don't realize that the world is coming from the mind, and I look at the world, and the world, there's concrete evidence that he's a slob, therefore I should hate him, I'm never going to break out of that cycle. So I need to understand that the world is made from the thoughts. And I, even though the evidence is there that the thoughts are right, I need to be willing to not listen to the thoughts anyway, or else that cycle of the world proving me right is never going to stop. So you have to be able to look at the world, look at the family situation, look at whatever is happening, and say, okay, I see what it appears to be. I see that. I'm not going to deny that. But this appearance comes from the mind. I need to make a change here in the mind. And you got to go ahead and start changing the way you think in spite of the appearance. And this is the ability to choose that it's saying that we must take back. And if we don't take back this ability to choose, we're really slaves to the world and also the creator of the world without realizing that we're the creator. Verses 10 to 12. Accepting choice is accepting the way of salvation. Accepting choice is accepting how all experience is made. In accepting choice, you are accepting that you are experience's maker, and in doing this, can all previous choice be undone. So if I am willing to change my thoughts about the world, even though the world proves my previous way of thinking right. If I'm willing to do that, then what I'm really also doing is I'm saying, I understand that I'm the world's maker. I really do get that. And I need to change the way I think, or the world is never going to change. And so we take that first step and we change the way that we think. Now, again, on an individual basis, you know, sometimes people get confused and they say, okay, so if I change the way I think, you know, there will be no more ISIS, for example. If you change the way you think, some things in the world will disappear. Some circumstances will just disappear completely from your life and from your experience. Other circumstances, you see them differently, and they become completely acceptable, as truly and honestly acceptable as they are. So to always look for a circumstance to change your mind because you want the world to change, doesn't work. The real reason for changing your mind is because you want to see truly. You don't want to be deceived by the world anymore. And then if the world changes, great. But if it doesn't change, you still see, you experience that situation differently, so you are no longer deceived. And that's what really matters, is that you are seeing truly, regardless of whether the appearance changes or not.
Can you give an example, say, go back to when you were living with Laurent, that you saw the evidence of that he was sloppy and whatever, and you decided that you're going to choose to change to see how it's not that way, how you did it?
Yes, I can describe that. What I was taught to do at that time was, instead of listening to the story being he's a slob, and the story being he sleeps all day, and, you know, all the other things that were there, instead of listening to the story, to notice the content of the story, which was hate. Because, you know, when my mind was saying he's a slob, that was hate. When my mind was saying he's a lazy bum, he sleeps all day, that was hate. And so what I was guided to do was to notice that I don't like the feeling of hate, and to realize that I want peace and happiness more than I want hate. And so for that reason alone, to let go of the thoughts. So when the thought came into the mind, he's a slob, what I would literally say to myself is, that is a hate thought. I do not want hate, therefore I do not accept that thought. He's a lazy bum, he sleeps all day. That is a hate thought. No, I do not want hate, therefore I do not accept that. And what happened after a very short time, actually, it didn't take long at all, after a very short time of being very consistent about that, I came to see that hate does not exist. And by the word exist, let me define exist. Something that exists, exists on its own. You know, it has its own being, you could say. Hate does not exist. Hate is like smoke to a fire. You have to have the fire in order to have smoke, right? Smoke doesn't have its own existence. It just doesn't appear on its own, right? Well, hate is like smoke. It doesn't have its own existence. So what was the fire that made the smoke? It was my believing these thoughts. And when I chose to quit believing those thoughts, the fire went out, and therefore the smoke went out too. The hate disappeared, because hate does not have its own existence. And that's what I came to see. So what's happened since then is I've never, ever, 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 this is amazing, believed in hate again. I don't believe in hate. Before that, I believed in hate, you could say. I believed I could hate. I believed you could hate. Now I don't believe in hate. I realize that hate is a misperception. And it just comes from believing thoughts that we don't know better than that. In fact, it reminds me very much of what Jesus said on the cross. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. Right? Thoughts are coming into the mind. People are believing the thoughts, and therefore the hate appears, you know. But that hate doesn't have its own existence. That just changes the way you see everything. So when you see someone hating someone else, you don't see hate. You know, people talk about, like right now, hate crime. You don't see a hate crime. You see ignorance, people believing thoughts they don't need to believe. You see ignorance. And ignorance is a completely different way of seeing than hate. Hate seems to encourage more hate or more judgment. ignorance encourages compassion. So you end up reacting and responding to everything differently. Did I answer your question?
Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to read the last thing I read at 10 to 12 and then continue. Accepting choice is accepting the way of salvation. Accepting choice is accepting how all experience is made. In accepting choice, you are accepting that you are experience's maker. And in doing this, can all previous choice be undone? Woe to the earth and the sea is merely misperception. Rejoice that you shall see the choices you have made. It is this that enables you to decide to choose again. One of the thoughts that will show up in the mind that we ignorantly believe is the idea that purification is painful, scary, something awful is going to happen, you know, those types of thoughts. And so when we start learning that we need to watch our mind more carefully, we need to notice what we're choosing, like notice that I'm choosing hate, notice that I'm choosing guilt, notice that I'm choosing fear. There's this little quiet voice, in fact, A Course in Miracles, if I remember correctly, calls it a mouth. There's this little quiet voice inside of us that's not the Holy Spirit, it's the ego. But I say it's quiet because it's pretty subconscious, actually. There's a little quiet voice that basically says, don't you dare look, because if you look, you're going to find out what a friggin' loser you are, even more than you think. You know, don't you dare look. And when we believe that, we're just believing another thought we don't need to believe, because that's not true. So that's why it says, woe to the earth and the sea is merely misperception. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice that you shall see the choices you've made. It's freedom to see, oh my God, I've been choosing hate and I don't have to. And if I can let go of choosing hate, I can be free from hate forever. You know, I mean, that's wonderful. I don't have to believe in betrayal. I don't have to believe in rejection. I don't have to believe in people using each other. You know, all of these false beliefs that have made my life such a burden, I can let go of. Praise the Lord. Now let me see where I am making these choices. That's the attitude that NTI encourages, rather than, oh, shit, I wonder what I'm going to find when I look in the mind. You know, that's just not helpful. Verses 13 to 17. All that you shall face cannot harm you. You need only to remember this in order to face it without fear. Be glad that you are choosing to see the end of perception. Be happy that you have walked to this point of being willing to choose again. So that's NTI Revelation 12. And NTI Revelation 13, well, we could do 13. I was thinking 13 and 14 go together, but it doesn't look like it. 14 is pretty long, but 13, I don't know. 13 is a little intense. Maybe we should just wait. I don't know. It's hard for me to say. I guess it's up to you guys. What we're going to be looking at in 13 is our belief in judgment. But we aren't meeting for 2 weeks, so how do you feel? Do you want to go for another chapter, or do you want to just stay with the watching your what you're choosing for 2 weeks?
Maybe we should wait.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking this slowly. You can rush through things too fast, and then you don't get any depth to it, right?
There's something that came to my mind and I lost it when you were reading that last paragraph that I wanted to ask.
Well, let me read it to you again. Let's see if it comes back. All that you shall face cannot harm you. You need only to remember this in order to face it without fear. Be glad that you are choosing to see the end of perception. Be happy that you have walked to this point of being willing to choose again.
Yeah, it did come back. Remember how you explained to us as we progressed about
you had us go back and look at when we were younger and that part of ourselves that was there and hadn't changed and whatever, and on and on throughout our life. When you read this, all that you fear cannot harm you, it reminded me, all of a sudden it just came just down, and I guess I want to talk a little bit about that, because when you said the little voice tells you don't look because you know you're going to be a worse loser and all that, why does that frighten us so much when there's nothing that can harm us, nothing? And why does that, you know, frighten us so much and we cringe and we're so afraid? And when I really truly believe that, you know, nothing can harm us, and that part of me that is the real self cannot be harmed and is always the same and was always that way. But yet I believe the voice is too. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you kind of...
Well, there's not a logical answer. I mean, because it's not a logical thing. It's an illogical thing. Basically, the answer is because we still believe the mind. So if the mind says, "Don't you dare look. You're gonna find out what a scum you are." We're like, we quickly believe it. It's just a habit of quickly believing the mind. So the more we can get out of the habit of quickly believing the mind, the better. You know, and so that's the answer. We just quickly, we believe, you know, if my mind says to me, "Oh my God, he's going to rip me off." I believe, "Oh my God, that guy's going to rip me off. I got to watch him more closely." You know, we just believe whatever the mind says. And that's our habit. And so, you know, we believe it about little things, but you know, like, red meat's bad for you. And we believe it about big things, like, "Oh my God, you're the scum of the earth." And it's our habit. We just need to learn to stop believing the mind. And that's what this choice chapter is all about. You know, the mind is the dragon. And the dragon is going to consume that little baby, awakening, so that we don't experience it. Now, of course, it can't really consume it. That's just a symbol. Awakening is inevitable for everyone. But as long as we're still listening to the dragon, that awakening isn't happening. So for now, it's consumed, that little baby. So, you know, for example, let's say I get annoyed with somebody who lives with me, you know, for doing something. What happens is most of us just automatically believe, "Oh, my God, I can't believe, you know, he's doing that or she's doing that. I don't know why they continue." And you see, we're just believing the mind. And what this chapter is telling us is we need to pause, we need to look. We need to know that if we're annoyed, it's because we are choosing to believe thoughts that annoy, you know, thoughts that create that feeling. And we need to realize that we're creating the experience of annoyance. And we need to change our mind and choose differently. So, you know, let's say the person makes loud noises. I don't know what the person is, but the person is always making loud noises, and I'm trying to contemplate, meditate, and the person just makes loud, loud noises, and, "Oh my God, I'm so annoyed. Why can't he or she respect, you know, what I'm trying to do here?" And blah, blah, blah. I need to pause and go, "Wait a minute. I am choosing this experience of annoyance right now by resisting these noises. Maybe I can accept these noises. Maybe I can realize these noises cannot harm me. Maybe I can even use these noises in my meditation. Maybe I can say, what is it that is aware of these noises?" You know, and so I change my mind, and then my entire experience changes. Even if the noises continue, I'm going to see them now. And to be honest, if I fully accept these noises, there's a real good chance that in the future, those noises are just going to kind of go away. The person will naturally become quieter or naturally have to leave and go somewhere else while I'm meditating or, you know, something.
Or you can go somewhere else.
Or maybe I'll go somewhere else, yeah. You know, so... But instead, we just believe, "Oh my God, he's so annoying. He does not respect me." And we just believe that. And that's our habit. That's our problem. So it's a matter of learning not to believe that dragon, you know, that we saw in Revelation. Just because our mind says it does not mean we have to believe it.
That's such a great example, too, because we think that our meditation should be uninterrupted and free of distractions. But you can actually get a lot of meditating and then finding a source of agitation.
Yes.
You can use, you can actually in the long run it's beneficial, or it can be. I'm not suggesting that you should deliberately put yourself in that position or that's a great situation to find yourself in. But if someone's in the, especially like in a group setting, someone's meditating and they become annoyed at some noise or distraction or some agitates them, but I say, great, go for it.
Yeah, and at least
good. Meditate on that for a little while.
Yeah, at least my limited experience is, I can't create an environment that doesn't distract the mind. Like I have asked my family not to disturb me when I meditate, and to be honest, my family's pretty good about that. But someone may take a shower. Shoot, the house just makes noises all by itself sometimes. Every now and then the dog barks. A big loud truck goes by outside. I mean, there's no way that you can create an environment that's free of...
And it's the epitome of arrogance to think that because you're meditating that...
The world's just
and there's actually people that are, that, I don't know, they'll put signs on the door, or take your shoes out, this guy's meditating, so what? So what if you're meditating? That doesn't, you're not, doesn't make you special in any way, but it kind of cracks me up when people are like, oh, shh, there's someone over there, they're meditating. What I found, what I was taught, a lot of people agree with, is good. I hope they do get, maybe that'll shake them up a little bit. They'll have a little something extra to throw into their meditation. Like, what is that? Why do I find that?
And that's what we really should be doing with the annoyance. Instead of, again, believing the thought, he shouldn't be making so much noise, we should be looking within and noticing that we're choosing to be annoyed. Right? That's what this is all about. And if I'm choosing to be annoyed, and I see that I'm choosing this, so then guess what? Then I can make another choice. But if I think it's him and his noise, then I'm a victim. Yeah. So I guess a good assignment for the next 2 weeks is to notice when agitation comes up, annoyance comes up, anger comes up, frustration comes up, whatever else comes up, and try to use that to look and see how we're choosing it, how we're making it, literally making that experience. And then, of course, if you can, take it one step further and see if you can make a different choice.
Seems to me this came up a long time ago.
Well, NTI, I've noticed, is like, I call it a spiral staircase.
Yeah.
It hits the points, and then it hits them again, and then it hits them again.
Yeah. Because I remember when I was really, really focused on the choice-making, and I was presented with really, really good opportunities. And I had several great days, I had kind of breakthroughs or whatever it was, but I was like, oh, it's not him, I promise you, it's not him.
I remember that myself. Yeah.
But, so, those kind of things for me, they tend to, it wasn't lost. I mean, nothing's lost on me. I'm one of those kinds of people, and so when I gained that insight, I can be even more specific. It was this guy who was taking 25-minute, 15-minute breaks. You get a 15-minute break if you turn it into 25 or plus, and so I was like, victimization story, and then if you would only change, and all these things we take advantage of, and then went through the whole litany of grievances, and then the assignment started to kick in, and then you were talking about what happens, just in the realm of phenomena. Does the situation change? And actually, it did change. I think once it became noticed that I wasn't that it wasn't going to knock me off my game, then I became okay with it. I think that actually in my environment kind of.
Yeah.
It seemed as if it changed. I'm not.
That can definitely happen. And then when it doesn't happen, it didn't need to. You know, so it works both ways. But lots of times when you let something go, the first time I experienced that was when Jasmine was 7 and I was actually just starting A Course in Miracles, and I hated McDonald's. And Jasmine being like 7 wanted to go to McDonald's all the time, and I just hated McDonald's. And I was, you know, doing the course workbook or something, and it occurred to me that a grievance is a grievance, you know, and if you have a grievance against McDonald's, and, you know, that's still a grievance. So I decided that I needed to let go of my grievance of McDonald's, and that every single time Jasmine said she wanted to eat there, I would go. And, you know, she would say it 2 or 3 times a week. So I was going to McDonald's a lot, and I was looking at that grievance and like, oh, I hated their food. I thought even their salads tasted like plastic, you know, but I was really looking at my grievance, and I literally got to where I could enjoy, go to McDonald's and be happy. It's not like I thought the food was necessarily great, but I could just go there and be happy and eat and enjoy myself. And shortly after I got to where I could really enjoy it, she quit asking. Yeah, she quit asking to go to McDonald's. So, you know, that can happen. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, well, I will stop the recorder, and then we will have a bit of silence.